Now, the Inside Out Institute conducted a major study for eating disorders at the University of Sydney. The research findings highlight the impact that COVID-19 lockdowns have had in intensifying risk factors and triggers. The final results show that a majority of participants reported a significant increase in body image concerns, food restriction, and binge eating. Dr. Jane Miskovic-Wheatley, the research stream lead at the Inside Out Institute, joined 2SER producer Narlene Masto earlier to discuss the key findings.
What surprised you the most about the Inside Out study?
So we did have an indication of some concerns that things like we were worried about the impact of social isolation, we were worried about the overall impact of anxiety on people, but specifically for people with a lived experience of an eating disorder, when they went to the store and because of all everyone was stockpiling food, that can be a trigger for somebody with binge eating disorder. Not being able to access foods that you feel safe can be an impact for somebody with restrictive disorder. Also having a look at the impact of exercise being deemed as an essential activity with someone who has an obsessionality about exercise, that can be tricky as well. So the research did actually show that there was an increase in people who said that they experienced an increase in these symptoms during that second wave of the pandemic. But I think also one of the biggest things that I was surprised about was the amount of people that were in the community that were experiencing clinically significant symptoms, but were not in any treatment, had never received a formal diagnosis, and yet clearly were living with that significant lived experience, were experiencing increased symptoms, but didn't have that support or treatment on board. And that was particularly concerning.
You mentioned there about how people didn't receive treatment, and a key data point in the study was that 40% of participants who were sort of experiencing severe symptoms had never received a formal diagnosis or seek treatment. Why do you think that was?
It's, to be honest, it's not uncommon. There has been community research in the past where researchers have asked people in the community or done general mental health studies that just to have a look at kind of what the incidence of eating disorder symptomatology is, especially for people who have never kind of come forward and spoken about it. So it wasn't surprising, unfortunately. We do know that that often there's reported anywhere from 30 to 70% of people in our community that do actually have eating disorder concern or body image concern, but have never spoken to anybody about it. It's quite secretive. Often it can be quite a hidden illness. We also know that it doesn't necessarily look the way that we expect it to look, because there can be a full range of these experiences. It might be restrictive, it might be overeating, it might be overexercising, it might just be poor body image concern, which has an impact on the way that people have a relationship with body and food. So it doesn't look like the way we expected to do. It comes up in a variety of different populations more than we expect it, such as people who identify as male, people in the trans community, people with other ethnic or cultural backgrounds who we don't necessarily see as that kind of group that we would expect it to be. And there can be a lot of shame and stigma. We know that some people actually, the kind of average time, if it's not identified in childhood, that people can actually live with these symptoms is about 9 to 10 years before they ever come forward and seek treatment.
Wow, that's crazy. And just about the enforced lockdown part of it, what exactly was it about lockdown that exacerbated either pre-existing symptoms or even spurred new symptoms for individuals who didn't suffer from an eating disorder beforehand?
People did report that they experienced an increase. People report that they experienced a re-emergence of symptoms that they'd had in the past. And then there were also people that said, no, they were now experiencing these symptoms for the first time. I think it was the lockdown, but it was also the overall experience of the pandemic. It was just that overall worry and anxious concern that we had. It was the way that we asked people specific questions about what were the main things. Changes in daily routine were really important, because if we focus on what's really good for our mental health, it is that self-care. It is making sure you regularly contact and see people that are meaningful in your life, that you engage in enjoyable activities, that you do balanced exercise, and that you do interact with the community. Well, all of those things we didn't have access to. So that had a particular impact on people with pre-existing mental health concerns, but also general mental health in our community as well. We all know that specifically for a lot of different diagnostic groups, people were not coming forward to speak to their healthcare practitioner about any other concerns because they were too afraid of getting COVID in the doctor's office. So that was something else that was happening. And we're seeing that. We know that there's less of an incidence of diagnosis of breast cancer, for example. That's not because breast cancer has miraculously not now in our community. It's just because people haven't come forward in the last 2 years. And so that is that concern, why we want to have this information out there, because obviously early identification is really important to be able to get the help that you need when you need it, but it's also never too late to come forward and seek that treatment and care.
And did the Inside Out study find an increase with all eating disorders, or was there one in particular that stood out?
Body image concern was the particular symptom that people, like 90% of our respondents, and that's out of 1,700 respondents, said that they experienced. And then the binge eating was also something that I think about 70% of our respondents said that they had an increase on. They were kind of the two real key, and restrictive eating was another one, because I think if you tie that together, if people aren't getting out, if they're not exercising, if they're concerned about their body image, well, then they're obviously, you know, if they have that predisposition, they're going to restrict. The more you restrict some for some people, then the more you binge. So all it's not actually in isolation. All of these things are quite connected together.
And when you mentioned that, I just thought of what would the role of social media play? Because a lot of people were just on their phones during lockdown, and how could have that played into it as well?
Absolutely. Well, I think what people kind of fell into these categories, you know, some people like, right, well, I'm stuck at home and I'm going to, like, you know, work out every day and kind of, you know, get my new body. You know, that's not sustainable practice. We know what impact kind of social media can have, because people have a very filtered view of their life that they put out there. They don't talk about their complexities. They don't talk about their difficulties. And then I think that brought on a lot of guilt and shame for people, because they said, well, that's actually something that I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling isolated. I don't know what I'm doing. And now I feel guilty because I'm not doing that. And actually the diet and exercise industry have been particularly cruel over this period of time, because there has been a lot of very targeted advertising. And the, you know, the problem is, when you have a look at social media, advertisers know how to contact people who are vulnerable, because they go through your search history and they build an algorithm and they say, actually, if anybody's ever looked up diet, we are now going to hit them with ads where they, you know, it was like, what was it, the lockdown 10 or the lockdown 20? They're actually kind of calling people out because they're having a very real human experience to a world being shut down for 2 years. And they're targeting the, you know, that the part of them that feels the most vulnerable.
Definitely. And now that people are coming out of lockdown at this very stage, are we seeing positive signs in how they're coping with it, or are they still experiencing a lot of the same negative feelings that they were?
I mean, what we are finding is that if people have had a challenging experience, just because lockdown is lifted, it doesn't mean that they kind of automatically recover. And though we have found that there's a lag, that people continue to feel those experiences.
Yeah. And just on that, is like, what specific resources or support services are available for those who have experienced increased symptoms, or especially for those who just realize certain behaviors during lockdown?
I think there are three key places that I would recommend: going to the Inside Out Institute website, because we have a lot of online resources there. There's a lot of kind of articles and podcasts. Whenever we run a study, and particularly an intervention study, we just ran a 2-year pilot where people could actually kind of do a program at home, self-directed, but an online, to look at our binge eating, which has proven to be really effective. But there's also a treatment services database that you can go in there and you can look at accredited people such as psychologists and dietitians in your area that might be able to provide that care. The step before that, though, is also, if you do want to contact any of those people, to go and have a chat with your GP. GPs, you know, are really the first port of call, because they can go through, they can start to have a conversation conversation with you. They can ask you some of those questions. In November 2019, the Australian government through the Medicare system recognised that treatment of an eating disorder does take time and does take considered effort on everybody's behalf. And so they moved, it's not just the kind of 6+4 mental health care plan, which anybody can access for things like anxiety or depression, but if you are able to access an eating disorder plan, it means you can have up to 40 sessions with a psychologist and 20 sessions with a dietitian per calendar year. And all of those services are now part of, you can get on telehealth. So there's actually never been a better time where people can access services literally from the safety and comfort of their home, or they can seek face-to-face services. And then also the Butterfly Foundation is also a great place. They also have a 24-hour national call centre so that you can call and just have a conversation with somebody and they can connect you with resources as well.
That was Wednesday Daily producer right there, Nalin Marcel, talking to Dr. Jane Miskov-Wheatley about how COVID-19 lockdowns have triggered a surge in eating disorders in Australia.